Good morning. Our God is truly good. You believe that? Let me hear you say amen. And we continue on our series that we've been studying entitled The Ultimate Love Story, The Battle for Your Heart. And today's sermon is entitled Seeing God's Thoughts and Feelings. We continue our series. I invite you to turn with me to our opening text to Exodus chapter 34, verse 5. Exodus chapter 34, verse 5. So this morning as we open the Word and we study together and we're worshiping together as a family here, and we're worshiping, I invite you to something called call and response. So if you understand what has been said, then and I say, if it's clear, then you can say amen. Is that clear? Amen? Amen. So we're going to respond and worship God together as we study the Word of God together. So as we go through these principles, we're going to stop and ask, is this clear to you? And then you're going to have to let me know so we can move on. Is that good? Does that sound good? Is that clear? Let me say amen. Amen? Amen. Okay. So let's go to Exodus chapter 34, verse 5. First of all, if you could look into the mind of God this morning, what do you think, if you could see his thoughts and his feelings, what do you think you would see? Would you see what you think you would see, or would you see something totally different? What do you think? I would like to suggest to you this morning that if we were to look into the mind, the thoughts and feelings of God, I would suggest to you that we would see thoughts and feelings what we wouldn't think we would have seen. For God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts, as the what? Heavens are above the what? Earth, the Bible says, right? So God's thoughts, we think we would see God, but God's thoughts is so much higher than us that we could never comprehend his thoughts and his feelings truly. So this morning as we open his word, may God open up his thoughts to you and me here this morning. Let us pray. Father, as your word is open, we ask that you may reveal to us your thoughts and your feelings to us. We thank you for already answering our prayers. In Jesus' name, amen. Now we study about God's character. What is God's character made up of? Exodus chapter 34, verse 5. Notice the Bible says here, which is God's character. This is a review. God's glory is his what? Name. What else is his? God's glory is his what? Character. And what else? God's glory is his goodness. Very good. Very good. Okay, so Exodus 34 verse 5 is what we learned. And he's talking about his name again. And the Lord descended in a cloud and stood with him there, with Moses, he's talking about, and proclaimed the name or the character of the Lord, the glory of the Lord. We studied this before. And what did he proclaim when he said, I'm going to proclaim my character? The Bible says, and the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children to the third and to the fourth generation. When Moses asked God, show me your glory, show me your character, your name, God showed to him, remember we learned character traits. And character traits reveal who a person is. In other words, character traits reveals someone's thoughts and feelings this morning. Now, what determines what a person is? Turn to Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7, as we go through our study this morning. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7. What determines what a person is? Notice the Bible says here. We're going to go inside of our minds this morning, beloved. And then we'll go into the mind of God himself through the Word of God. Amen? But first we need to go into your mind and my mind. What you're thinking and everything. Notice the Bible says, what makes up what determines what a person is? The Bible says in verse 7, for as he, a person, thinks in his heart, on the inside, so is what? He. In other words, who you are, your character, your name, who you are as a person is determined upon what you, what is that word? Think. Do you see that? You are what you think. So who you are is determined upon what you are thinking. Now, in other words, your character is based upon your, let's look at the handout here, the first handout, the first quotation. Inspiration says, the thoughts, listen to this, the thoughts and feelings combined make up the moral, what is that word? Character. This is what the Bible says, right? Your character, who you are, your character, we studied about your character before, your name. Your character is based upon your thoughts and your feelings. So you look at the next one, it says, thoughts plus feelings equals your character. That's who you are. How you think and how you feel, that's who you really are. Does that make sense? If that's clear, let me hear you say amen. Amen? So that's clear so far. So knowing that, I want you to notice that your thoughts and feelings, is that on the external or internal? Internal. Interesting. Now, we know what is the only thing that we're going to take to heaven with us. Do you know? We told inspiration, what is it? Character, right? In other words, the only thing that you're going to take to heaven is not external, beloved, but it's your internal, it's your thoughts and your feelings. Is that clear? It's not your external works, your actions, your words, though we're going to be judged by them. But what you actually take with you into heaven itself is actually your character, your thoughts, how you think, and how you feel this morning, right? So knowing that, what happens after one has thoughts to seek the Lord? We're looking at thoughts. Now, Acts chapter 17, verse 24. Turn with me to Acts chapter 17 as we go through this study. Acts chapter 17, verse 27. Acts chapter 17, verse 27. What happens after one has thoughts to seek the Lord? Now we're going into your mind again and see how you actually work. And this is very useful to you. Acts chapter 17, verse 27. The Bible said that they should seek the Lord. Now, where do you seek the Lord? Is it bodily, physically, with your own five senses on this earth? Or is it in your mind, in your thoughts? Where do you seek the Lord? In your heart. In your thoughts, right? So in your thought, you're seeking the Lord. So it says here in 17:27, they should seek the Lord. So in their thoughts, they're seeking the Lord. Why? If happily, or perhaps, if they seek the Lord in their thoughts, perhaps, if happily, they might... The Bible says they might feel after him and find him. In other words, the feelings, if you seek the Lord in your thoughts, you will seek after him with your feelings also, and then you will find him. In other words, feelings follows your thoughts and not the other way around. Your thoughts come first, and then your thoughts affect your feelings. Now look at your handout here. There's another quote here from Inspiration, Testimonies, Volume 1. Notice what it says here. Actually, before that, the third quote, it says page 164 from In Heavenly Places. Notice what it says. It says, if the thoughts are wrong, the feelings will be what? Wrong, right? So thoughts go to feelings. So you have wrong thoughts, you have wrong feelings. If you have bad thoughts, you have bad feelings, right? You have bad thoughts, you actually... thinks a certain way negative about a person, it brings negative feelings and you feel horrible. Don't you feel that way, right? Something happens to you, somebody hurts you or cheats on you, bad thoughts, those bad thoughts make you feel miserable. Doesn't it make you feel that way? So your feelings affect is affected by your thoughts, how you think. Are you seeing that now? We're going to your mind, right? Your thoughts affect your feelings, and therefore look at your handout. If you have wrong thoughts, it produces wrong feelings. But the opposite is true also. If you have right thoughts, if you have positive thoughts, good thoughts. It produces right feelings, good feelings, positive feelings this morning. That's clear. Let me hear you say amen. Amen? You have to understand how God created you, how you work, what goes on in your mind, your thoughts and your feelings. So this morning, beloved, we need to have right, good, and positive thoughts here this morning. That is why it is very important that we have only good thoughts in our mind. Is it not true? Because think about it. If our character is the only thing we're going to bring to heaven, our character is our thoughts and our feelings, right? Thoughts and feelings. If these are the only thing that we're going to bring to heaven, it is very important that these thoughts and feelings be good, right? Because you need a good character to bring to heaven. Isn't that true? But if you have bad thoughts produces bad feelings, these thoughts and feelings will not be allowed into the heavenly kingdom. Does that make sense this morning? That is very crucial, how important how you think this morning. Now, nothing is wrong with feeling. It's only when we put our feelings... Now, I used to think that feelings are wrong. You know, you think about the word and this got subject everything. And so you kind of get to the other extreme, right? That all feelings is wrong. But if you put feelings above your thoughts, above the word of God, and you live your life by your feelings, then it's wrong, beloved. Amen? Then it's called fanaticism. You're living by your feelings rather than the word. But there's feelings that is allowed and it's okay to follow as long as it follows the good thoughts within the Word of God, beloved. Amen? Now look at your quote right here as a handout. It says here in Testimony Volume 1. Notice what it says. Confound not faith and feeling together. Faith is believing in the Word, the thoughts of God. They are distinct. Faith is ours to exercise. This faith we must keep in exercise. Believe, believe. Let your faith take hold of the blessing, and it is yours. Your feelings have nothing to do with this faith. Don't live by your feelings how you feel today, right? Believe and live on the word and the thoughts of God. When faith brings the blessing to your heart, by faith you bring the blessings of the word of God, the thoughts, and you rejoice in the blessing, it is no more faith, but what? Feeling. So you can turn the blessings found in his word, the thoughts of God, and you can turn that into blessing. You can turn that to actually good feeling here this morning. So it's good, it's okay, beloved, to feel good according to the word of God, beloved. Amen? Thoughts and feelings this morning. Now, what kind of thoughts are we to think upon? Turn to Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 this morning. What kind of thoughts does God ask us to think about? Knowing that our character is the only thing we're going to take to heaven, that our thoughts and feelings must be good. Notice what the Bible says here in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. The Bible says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are what? True. Whatsoever things are what? Honest. Whatsoever things are just. Whatsoever things are what? Pure. Whatsoever things are what? Lovely. Whatsoever things of good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, what is that word? Think on these things, beloved. Amen? In other words, if you're going to have any thoughts in your mind, because your character is made out of thoughts and feelings, if you're going to have any type of thoughts in your mind, you must have positive and good thoughts, because the Bible teaches that with your good thoughts will produce good what? Feelings, right? And thus it's important that you think upon these positive things. You don't look upon the negative things in life, but you look upon the good things in life. You don't look upon the bad thing that's going on. You look upon the good things that's going on, beloved, this morning. Amen? Now, this is a little story here. I want to look at the handout here. The story here I want to point out. Ellen White had a vision, a dream, and she said, the night after I had read her letter, I dreamed that I was in a garden. Imagine yourself in a garden. And one who seemed to be the owner of the garden was conducting me through its path. So you're walking through this garden. Next page says, I was gathering the flowers and enjoying their fragrance. So she's enjoying these beautiful flowers and the fragrance. When this sister who's with me, who had been walking by my side, called my attention to some unsightly briars that were impeding her way. There she was mourning and grieving over these thorns in the garden. She was not walking in the pathway following the guide, but was walking among the briars and thorns. Oh, she mourned. Is it not a pity that this beautiful garden is spored with thorns? Then the guide said, let the thorns alone, for they will only wound you. Instead, gather the roses, the lilies, and the pinks, beloved. Amen? The briars and thorns will only wound and grieve you. And if you gather only these things and present them to others, are you not, besides slighting the goodness of God yourself, preventing those around you from walking in the path of life? What is the lesson to this story? And here's the moral lesson to the story is this. They're walking in a garden, and here she is, Ellen White, picking up these beautiful flowers and enjoying the beautiful flowers and enjoying the beautiful scenery and the smell and the fragrance. But her friend next to her did not see the good things of the beautiful flowers. Are you following me? Instead, all they could see, in spite of all the beautiful flowers and all the beautiful scents, all that she could see was all the negative things in that garden. All that she could see was all the bad and the thorns and the briars. And then it said, the guy said, don't worry about the thorns. Get back on the path, and I want you to look at only the good, the positive things that are here in this garden, beloved. Amen? Don't look at all these bad and negative things. I want you to look at the good things. I want you to think about what is pure and true and holy within this garden. The blessings that has been given to you. That's what I want you to see. You see, beloved, what we are living in today is we are living in a world that people love to think upon negative things. Is that not true today? Are we not living in a world that is surrounded by negative and evil and wickedness today? Is it not true that when you turn on the TV and you're watching the news, that you're bombarded with the negativity that's happening, even the things that are true out there with the murders and the corruption and the crime out there? Is that not true? And don't you think when you see all these negative things out there, don't you think that it can actually affect how you actually think and feel? Is that not true? Even if it's true, even if it's the news, and you look in the newspapers and you read the details of how, specific details, how someone was murdered here, actually in the park or whatever, don't you think of how they go through all the details that can actually affect how you think and thus how you even feel? You know, before they never used to be so graphic in a newspaper. Now they go down, do you really need to read all the graphic details of how this one woman was actually raped in graphic detail? Do you really need to know all that stuff, beloved? No. Do we need to watch the movies that's presented out there with all the negative things? You look at the Bible here, it says, whatsoever things, all the things that we ought to focus on, whatever things is true, is it true or is it fiction? Whatever things are honest, are they being honest to one another? Are they cheating on one another? Whatever things are just, is justice being done or people being cheating in the government? Are we watching those things? Whatsoever things are pure, is it really pure to watch this show or whatever? Whatsoever things are lovely, is it really lovely? Is that true love that you're watching? Whatsoever things are good reports, are they bringing good reports or evil reports of thefts and crime on the TV show you're watching? Is the music you're listening to, is it positive things in your life? If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on all these positive things. Do not think upon the negative. There's enough negative things out there. You don't need to mess up your life anymore, beloved. Amen? You're already feeling miserable in your life. Why do you need to let more negative thoughts come in to make you feel more negative feeling in your life, right? You don't need to listen and watch those things. The negative thoughts will react and create negative feelings in your life, which together is our negative character this morning. If that's clear, let me hear you say amen. Amen? Now, what is the correlation between our actions and what goes on in our heart, the thoughts and feelings? Turn to Matthew chapter 12, verse 34. Matthew chapter 12, verse 34. Notice what the Bible says here. The Bible says, O generation of vipers, this is Jesus speaking. O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? Listen to this. For out of the abundance of the what? Heart, your inside, your thoughts and your feelings, out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth what? Speaks. External action speaks. In other words, beloved, whatever is spoken or done on the outside is just a natural result what happens on the inside. In other words, your character, your thoughts and feelings produces what type of thoughts and feelings you're experiencing on the inside. It produces good works or evil works. Now look at your handout here. I want you just to see this. On your handout it says here on the back page, this is a diagram so you can see. Good thoughts produces what type of feelings? Good feelings. And the thoughts and feelings produces what? What type of works? Good works. Does that make sense? The next one says bad thoughts produces bad feelings, which produces what? Evil works this morning. So, do you see the importance of why we need to have good works this morning below? Amen? Good thoughts this morning, good feelings, and then good works. Now, what kind of thoughts do we naturally have? Turn with me to Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7, verse 21 in your Bibles. Mark chapter 7, verse 21. Mark 7, verse 21. What kind of thoughts do we have naturally? The Bible says here in 21, for from within, out of the heart of men, within your own heart this morning, the Bible says, proceed evil, what? Thoughts. Adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. In other words, out of your heart this morning only comes out evil thoughts. Why is that important? Because if you think that if I'm going to just stop reading the newspaper, I'm just going to stop watching the negative things on television, I'm going to stop listening to this negative music, if I'm going to stop doing all these things, and I'm going to be safe if I stop all these external actions, guess what? You still have your evil heart that produces evil thoughts still inside of you. And if you go live up in the mountains by yourself, and if you live up in a monastery by yourself, and if you get away all from the world, guess what? Your evil heart is still there with you wherever you may go, beloved. Amen? And that's why you need to have a new heart here this morning, beloved. Amen? You can go out and get rid of anything, which is good. But if you still have your evil heart within you, it will do you no good to get away. What happens when we see God's goodness? Turn to Romans chapter 2, verse 4. As we go through our study, Romans chapter 2, verse 4. What happens when we see God's goodness? You know this verse, but let's kind of break it down a little bit more than what we've been doing. Romans 2, verse 4 says, despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the, what is that word? Goodness of God leads us to what? Repentance. So God's goodness leads us to repentance, right? Now, what is God's glory again? What is it again? God's glory is his what? Character. What else? Name. What else? Goodness. And what else? Okay, that's God's glory, okay? So God's glory is his character, name, and goodness. So when we read the Bible, it says, and the Bible says, the goodness of God, we can substitute the character of God, or the glory of God, or the name of God, right? But let's look at the character of God. As you put in character for the word goodness, the character of God leads us to what? Repentance. Now, we learned this recently, that character is our what? Thoughts and what? Feelings. So you look at this text, it says, the thoughts and feelings of God leads us to repent, beloved. Is that clear? Let me say amen. Amen? The thoughts and feelings of God. What thoughts and feelings? The thoughts and feelings of how God feels toward you, His love toward you, will lead you to repentance this morning, beloved. Amen? So in other words, we must see the good thoughts and feelings of God. And if we will see God's thoughts of how much He loves you, God's thoughts, how God thinks about you this morning, how God feels about you this morning because of how He thinks. If you were to see His thoughts and His feelings, it would bring you to true repentance this morning. If you would not despise His thoughts and feelings of love toward you, beloved. Amen? He may bring it to you, but if you despise it, reject it, if you don't value and cherish His good thoughts and good feelings for you, you will not be brought to repentance. So I want to know this morning, how about you? What is God's thoughts and feelings toward me? How does God think about me this morning? How does He feel about me this morning? Well, let's see what God has to say, how He thinks. Let's go into the mind of God according to His word. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. Jeremiah, in your Bibles, chapter 29, verse 11. Remember, we're looking for the thoughts of God this morning. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. Notice what the Bible says. The Bible says, talking about God Himself, He says, "For I know the," what is that word? Thoughts. That word sound familiar? We've been studying it this morning. I know the thoughts. God says, I know the thoughts. You think I'm thinking a certain way, but God said, no, I know the thoughts this morning that I think toward you this morning, God says, saith the Lord. And what kind of thoughts does God think about us this morning? The Bible says, thoughts of peace and not of evil. Thoughts to give you an expected end or give you hope this morning. In other words, if God's mind is revealed in His word this morning, then God's character, His thoughts toward you is that God says, I have only thoughts of peace and love toward you this morning, beloved. Amen? And not only that, but God says, not only that I have thoughts of peace and love and hope toward you, but the Bible says that I have no thoughts of evil toward you at all, beloved, this morning. Amen? That's what the Word says this morning. Now, that's not what I'm saying. Not in the Word, but God says, this is my thoughts. This is God Himself speaking to your heart right now. And He's saying to you that I have only thoughts and thus only feelings of hope and peace and love and no thoughts of evil toward you at all. No matter what people say, what you think, whatever it may be, I have only these thoughts toward you this morning. What a God, beloved. Amen? Well, what else does God say? How else does God think toward us? Turn to Psalms chapter 40, verse 5. Psalms chapter 40, verse 5. How abundant is God's thoughts of love toward us? Listen to this. Now we're looking at God's thoughts again, right? The Bible says, David says, many, not a few, but many, O Lord, my God, are Thy wonderful works which Thou hast done. Many, and Thy, what is that word? Thoughts. Not only many of your wonderful works, but many are your thoughts, God, which are to us word. In other words, many are your thoughts toward me this morning. That's what David was saying. Many are your thoughts. You're thinking thoughts of love toward me, of peace, and not of evil. Many are these thoughts. And listen to this. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If they cannot be estimated. If I would declare and speak of them, if David could just speak all the times that God thought about him, thoughts of love and peace, they are more than can be numbered. In other words, God thinks about you with thoughts of peace and hope and love and not of evil so many times that if you would speak about all the times God thinks about you this morning and every single person here this morning, if you think about all the times He loves you this morning, you could not number them, beloved. Amen? You could not. Can you imagine a God like that? He loved you so much, and you cannot number the times that He thinks about these thoughts of peace and hope and love toward you. That's the God I serve this morning. How about you? Amen? Well, how else are God's thoughts of love toward us described? Turn to Psalms 139 in the same book. Psalms 139:17. Psalms 139, verse 17 and 18. How else are God's thoughts? Notice the Bible says. Bible says, how precious also are thy thoughts. There's that word again. Thoughts unto me, O God. David knew the thoughts. These thoughts of God are so precious because they're thoughts of love and hope. How precious are these thoughts, O God. How great is the sum of them. They're so great. If I should count them, if I should count all these thoughts of love you have, how you think about me, they are more in number than the sand. Amen. Can you imagine going to the beach here, grabbing a handful of sand, and let it run through your fingers? You know how much sand there is in sand at the beach? Millions. Trillions. All these thoughts out there. That's how much times God thinks of me. If I would count all these thoughts of love toward me and peace and hope, they're more in number than the sand that's out there. Now we're going into the mind of God now, beloved. It's powerful, it's sacred, it's holy, but this is how God thinks about you. He revealed his thoughts toward you. If I should count them, they're more in number, then listen to this, than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee, this morning, beloved. Amen? In other words, all through the night when you were sleeping and you were not even thinking one thought of God last night, God was thinking about you through the whole night, beloved. Amen? What a God. And then when you woke up this morning, the Bible says, when I wake, you're still with me. Your thoughts are still with me. You're still thinking about me this morning. When you woke up, God was thinking about you this morning, beloved. Amen? Now, who thinks about you like that? There's no love on this earth that can love you like that. There's no husband or wife, boyfriend or girlfriend, father or mother, brother or sister, cousin, whatever it may be. There's no one in this world that can love you and think about you like God does thinks about you this morning, beloved. Amen? And the Bible says he has these thoughts. He's thinking about you. In other words, he cannot get you out of his mind this morning, beloved. Amen? He's thinking. His character is his thoughts and feelings. If he thinks this way, he feels this way also. He feels this way about you so much. He can't get you out of his mind. He's always thinking about you with thoughts of peace and love and not of evil, beloved. Amen? What a God we serve. We serve a mighty God this morning, beloved. Amen? Now, what was revealed to happen when Mary's soul was pierced at the cross? Turn to Luke chapter 2, verse 34. Luke chapter 2, verse 34 and 35. Our scripture reading this morning. This is when Jesus was dedicated, when he was a baby, and Simeon the prophet came to Mary, the mother of Jesus, and gave them a prophecy. Notice the Bible says here. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child, Jesus, is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also. Where did that happen? At the cross. When Christ was crucified, the sword was pierced through Mary's heart, her soul, she was pained to see her son die on the cross. Why did this happen? Notice the Bible says in 35, that the, what is that word? Thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Now, whose hearts was revealed at the cross? You see, beloved, our actions, we're judged by our works, right? Our works, our actions, reveals how you really think and feel. Is that not true? So at the cross of Calvary, first of all, our deceitful hearts were revealed that the very creation itself would go and kill the very creator that created them. That our hearts are desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. Is that not true? That it would kill our own creator, number one. That's whose hearts was revealed. The thoughts of our own hearts, our wicked characters, our wicked thoughts and feelings was revealed. Number two, the second thing that was revealed was this. The thoughts and feelings of Satan himself was also revealed, was it not? All this time, see, we cannot read Satan's thoughts and feelings. It's inside of him. And therefore, we didn't know what he was up to. But the action and the works revealed how he really thought about God and how he felt about God and how he really thought about us. It revealed that he was a liar and a what? Murderer from the beginning. The cross proved that Satan was a liar and a murderer. What revealed his true thoughts in his mind, that he truly hated Jesus. He wanted to get Jesus out of the way. And he knew he was presenting the government of God as being false, and he would do a better job as being the leader. And he followed me, we're going to have a better government. The cross revealed that he really was a liar from the beginning, that he really was a murderer. And what else? Whose heart else was revealed on the cross? The thoughts of God this morning, beloved. Amen? The character of God, the thoughts and the feelings of God, the character, was revealed on the cross of Calvary. How was it revealed? In many ways, but primarily this, that he was a God that loved you and me so much that divinity itself would give up his life for his very creature. And not only that, he was a God that loved us so much that even though when you rejected him, and even you may even reject him in the end, he still made a decision to die for you this morning. And though all of heaven, and he was looking at on the cross of Calvary, looking at all the adoration and the worship of all the angels, and he saw you down through history, and he saw me that I would not give him the adoration and the praise that my God deserves. And still yet on the cross of Calvary, as he held one hand to heaven to save himself, and one hand down to me, holding my hand and holding us, and he's looking back and forth, struggling what decision to choose, beloved. On the cross of Calvary, he looked up and he looked down, and he looked back up and he looked back down, and he let go of heaven to save me this morning and you this morning. What a God we serve, amen? What a God we serve. Who can love like that? He let all of heaven go. In that very moment of time, his very action revealed how he really thinks and how he feels about you this morning. It reveals a God that loves you with a love that cannot be understood. A God that has thoughts of love and peace and of hope and not of evil. A God who came here to save your soul. And even though you rejected him, even though you turned him down many times, God has still been there. Even though you despise and reject him, he still went to the cross for you and me. Even though you oppressed him and afflicted him, he still went to the cross of Calvary for you and me. Even though we have ignored and hated this God and lived our life as if he did not exist at all, and if he did nothing for you at the cross, he still saw you down through the ages and let heaven go for you and me. What a God we serve, amen? That's the thoughts of a God to you this morning. That's how much God loves you this morning. Beloved, I don't fully see his thoughts and feelings, but I want to see it fully. How about you this morning? If you do, let me say amen. Amen? So I'm going to challenge you this morning, actually, as we prepare for our closing hymn. Hymn number 289. Entitled, The Savior's Waiting, 289. And here's my challenge to you. I'm going to make an appeal, actually. And here's my appeal. You remember Daniel had a 10-day fast? Remember that? To test if God's word is true or not. He didn't eat any unclean food. He didn't eat any meat or just ate a healthy diet, a vegan diet, right? And lifestyle, he changed it. And he tested God for 10 days. And he liked it so much, he continued on. So what I'm going to do now, actually, can I just have the singer sing this song? And we're just going to listen. You can follow along in your words. But I'm going to make an appeal to you. That for 10 days you do a fast. But not a food fast. A negativity fast. How's that, beloved? Amen? Negativity fast. So the next time someone comes down to you and actually comes to your house and start complaining about your boss all over again, right? And telling all the same old thing all over again. I want you to not to listen and tactfully pray to get away out of that conversation, beloved. Amen? The next time someone calls you up on the phone and starts spreading gossip and negativity about someone that does your, how your, what your family did to them or the church members did, I want you to remember to make, that you made a pact with God that you want to do a negativity fast. You're not going to have any negative things at all. I want you to make that commitment to God. So this time, if that's your commitment to Him.